Hi guys, it's me, Lindsay Pinchuk, host of Dear Found Her. Today you're going to hear me and our guest, Sally Christensen, founder of Argent, talk a lot about community, building your own community, and building the community that surrounds your brand, both of which you can do inside my group mentorship, Marketing Made Simple for Small Business. We launched in the fall and nearly 50 women are currently inside learning simple but effective marketing skills to take their business to the next level and to generate an amazing community for their brand. We just opened the doors to our spring cohort, and you can join us to start building a simple marketing strategy designed to connect with your community, grow your brand, and your bottom line without $1 million marketing budget or 1 million followers. Marketing Made Simple for Small Business is a group mentorship program for women-owned businesses. You'll work to create effective content, messaging, and a marketing process to connect with your community, build awareness, and drive sales. This program combines small group strategy sessions, one-on-one Q&A, and accelerator calls with me, community support, and a ton of digital resources designed to give you the step-by-step instructions and guidance you need for brand growth. Through Monday only, you'll be able to get into Marketing Made Simple for Small Business at the lowest rate I'll be offering. It's already gone up once. Plus, you'll get a bonus from me, a customized Instagram audit with simple cosmetic changes that you can make to impact your engagement, reach, and growth. Until Monday, you can get 30% off with the code FOUNDHER, which equals about 2 months free off an annual membership. Plus, when you become an annual member, you also get a one-on-one accelerator call with me. What I'm seeing taking place inside this community is absolutely amazing. I hope to see you inside soon. Questions? Simply shoot me a DM at Lindsay Pinchuk or an email at lindsay@lindsaypinchuk.com. I am happy to answer them. And now on to today's episode. Today's guest speaks my language. And for those of you who have been here for a while, this will come as no surprise once you hear our guest. She started a company with an incredible line of clothing for working women, but she built her company alongside a mission to upgrade working women's wardrobes and to help them navigate their busy hybrid lives. Sally Christensen, CEO and founder of Argent, has built a community of incredible working women around her brand who are by her side every single day, helping her to carry out this mission. A business major with an MBA from the University of South Carolina, Sally spent a decade in the Bay Area's finance and technology space, where she struggled to find work clothes that were bold, practical, and professional. For too long, workwear for women had been stagnant, constricting, and lacking key functional elements as simple as pockets. After reading hard statistics that women in the workplace are judged on appearance, which results in a tangible impact of their income over time, Sally founded Argent with a vision to arm women with a wardrobe that delivers style, functionality, and self-expression as they take their seats at the table. Argent's community counts leaders and disruptors like Dr. Jill Biden, Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, Meghan Markle, Gloria Steinem, and Amy Poehler as members, and is backed by industry leaders including Founders Fund, Fuel Capital, Katrina Lake, and Brooklyn Decker. Argent opened 3 NYC storefronts since the pandemic, built specifically for working women to help support them with their professional wardrobe overhauls as they navigate shifting dress codes and hybrid schedules. I cannot wait for you to hear Sally's story. Come on in and meet her. Dear Found Her, I'm your host, Lindsay Pinchuk. At 30 years old, I founded my first company with just $500, building it to reach 3 million people and generate 7 figures in revenue for 6 years straight, all before I sold it. A decade later, I exited with one goal: to support other women in business through their own entrepreneurship journeys. As an entrepreneur, you wear every hat. You burn the midnight oil, and most of all, you pour your heart and soul into everything you do. But there's no blueprint for success. Every week on Dear Found Her, you'll get to sit in as I pick the brain of some of my closest female founder contacts. Save yourself time, money, and hassle listening to the lessons of those who have already done it. You'll also have the chance to hear about my own founder journey, how I built my first company, and now how I'm building my second, as I share solo episodes filled with actionable lessons and steps that you can apply to your business immediately. Make sure to subscribe now so that we can build our businesses together each and every week. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Dear Found Her. I'm so excited about today's guest because in just a few minutes, I can tell already that she is very much on board with community and mission the same way that I am. And I know all of you guys know how important that is to me. And it's something that I drill into your heads week after week. So to have a founder here who shares that excitement makes me so happy. So Sally Christensen, founder and CEO of Argent, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to hear your story.
Thanks for having me. I am excited to be here and to chat with you.
So I'd love for you to start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you became a female founder, and tell us about Argent and what it is.
Sure. Yeah. So I, where to even begin? So I'm very much the consumer of what we're building, and I'm also very much an entrepreneur in my bones. So I think from the womb, I was just ready to build my own company. But I didn't really follow the traditional path. I, followed a more corporate path, which I think actually really shaped ultimately what I started. So my background is in business. I started in banking and wealth management in Chicago. I shifted gears and got my MBA with a focus on supply chain. I ended up taking that into a job at Cisco. They had a leadership rotational program for MBA students, which I signed up for, which was excellent from a learning perspective, and then joined cloud at Cisco. And so across all of my experiences, what was like this glaring white space was the professional workwear. And it's so simple. And I never thought I would actually go after starting a company in apparel. It's actually like the opposite of what I wanted to do. But it was just this persistent and shared pain point across every peer group that I worked with, and all of these industries and all of these environments were calling for different dress codes. And yet no one was really establishing what that dress code was or should be, or making it easy for these women. And so, I, in 2015, was working at Cisco, read a study that showed that women are judged based on appearance, and they quantify the impact of what you wear on your bottom line over your lifetime. It's quite significant. And so I just quit my job immediately with the mindset of what's the worst that could happen, and I'll learn and grow from this. And worst case scenario, I pivot back into corporate America. So to go back to why I followed a more traditional corporate path into entrepreneurship, that's just who I am and how I learned. So I needed that context and experience, I felt like, to really de-risk starting my own company and set myself up for what I felt like was success. And I learned a lot from doing that. And then with Argent, our goal is to be a one-stop shop for women across all industries, backgrounds, for career, and to deliver product that really doesn't and didn't exist. So functional, quality, stylish, versatile is a huge piece of it, comfortable workwear that just streamlines the day-to-day. And from a mission perspective, it's about removing barriers for women and giving them tools to optimally navigate their careers. And it's about visually pulling professional women into all the storytelling and really modeling them in a way that inspires the next generation of builders.
I love it. You've seen me furiously writing notes, which I'm saying because I want everyone to know how many questions I have. You said something that is actually my litmus test, and my litmus test for anything, and I share it here all the time, is what's the worst that can happen? And I always say, you know, you have to, I think the biggest question entrepreneurs ask me, and I'm sure you get this a lot too, is when did you know to quit your job? And either you get the, like me, which I worked a little bit and was a founder for a little bit until I realized that I had to pick one or the other. And I asked myself, what's the worst that can happen? And you are the other end of the spectrum where you were like, I'm going to quit. What's the worst that can happen? So when you quit, my question for you is, what did you do? I mean, you quit. And I think that's a big line drawn in the sand. And I think a lot of founders are like, I don't know when to make that decision.
So my advice is always, you have to have conviction in what you're building. So you have to believe so deeply in your end goal, because the journey is incredibly intense, and you won't make it if you don't believe in what you're building. And so I care about women more than anything. I care about gender equity more than anything. I believe, and this is proven, that just allowing women equal opportunities and support in the workplace changes the outcome of the economy, of our existence, of so many things. And so having women represented in leadership roles and across every industry is really my priority. And we're a tool and a means towards that effort. So it was pretty, I mean, I'm a true millennial in that way. Like I need a little bit of, like, I need my values and my work to go together. I'm actually not, I don't consider myself risk tolerant. I consider myself risk averse, which is ironic because I just am so game to embrace change, and what I'm doing is incredibly risky, but I don't see it as that. It was just a really compelling business opportunity, pain point. It just checked every box for me. So I just got to this point, and I know myself, I couldn't do both because I was in such a high stress job at Cisco. I had to pick a lane, and if I was going to commit, I had to go in like all in. And that's what I did. And in order to set myself up for success, I started to create structure right out of the gate. So I started setting up meetings with people, standing monthly meetings, and created, you know, like a 6-month timeline for myself with a to-do list and a whole host of things that I had to get through to try and just maintain some structure.
So when you first started, you know, you said that you didn't expect to be doing this, that you're a consumer of what you're building and you were meeting a pain point. And I think that's a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of female entrepreneurs especially. And that's exactly how I got started as well. So I can so appreciate that. But when you got started, you quit your job and you got started, was it the mission first or the clothing first? Because, and you just told me before we got on, it's not even about the clothing, it's about the mission. And I love that. But what came first as you were building this?
Clothing. I was so attracted to the idea of solving a pain point for the professional woman who I care deeply about and I think deserves so much more than she's given. And I think that this white space exists from a product perspective, because as most industries, when you move up in fashion into the leadership roles, it's predominantly male. So as much as we think about fashion as predominantly female, as you get into the more senior roles, it's predominantly male. And the things that I've been told in starting Argent by these men are just like shocking. It's things like women don't want utility in their clothing, utility meaning pockets. And like, how many memes have we all seen where women,
this dress has pockets.
Correct. So it's just like all these things. And it's like, they just, this is quote, like shrink it and pink it model that these businesses have adopted. But I just think that professionalism and women have not gone hand in hand because these men don't think of women as career. And so I very much do. Like I was seeing these powerhouse women and all of like throughout my experiences that were not being reflected in any brand and they weren't being spoken to through any brand. So from a product perspective, I just really saw an opportunity to introduce color. We were the first brand to really put color in suiting and just introduce like bands in the sleeves. So when you push up the sleeve, it holds them in place. Interior pockets for your credit card, for your phone. So you don't have to go back to your desk and grab your purse and you can go straight to lunch after, and like maybe into a lunch networking meeting and you don't miss opportunity. So like there was just all this low hanging fruit. What excited me about the product is that it is approachable and accessible and it's an easy conversation starter and it roots us in something that keeps women coming back. It represents our values. It is armor and it's giving women confidence. Because when you wear something you feel great in, then you hold yourself differently, you carry yourself differently. And so I think the first like few years we were really in service of the individual and trying to iterate on like the product because it's critical to our success. Sorry, because it's critical to our success. There we go. But the thing that's like changed throughout our journey, it's our product and our visuals and like getting all of those and brand, all those elements right. The thing that stayed constant is the mission and delivering value beyond the product and servicing the woman individually. And then now we've evolved to where we're connecting these women in an effort to have them have a relationship beyond Argent that benefits them in some capacity. And so I think that success from a product perspective allows us to have way more impact and has allowed us to layer in all their mission-oriented work.
In today's episode, you'll hear us talk a lot about community. Many of you often ask me, how can I grow my own community at a faster pace? Well, from my own experience building my own two businesses and that of dozens of clients, I will always tell you that strategic partnerships are the best way to build and grow your community. And truthfully, I'm not talking about paid partnerships or advertising. I'm talking about borrowing each other's communities for growth. A trade. At this month's Founder Friday event in Chicago, we talked all about ideas for partnering with other brands, people, and organizations for your own growth and for theirs. And then attendees participated in partnership dating to meet other women to actually partner with. I can't wait to see what comes out of that room filled with over 35 women. I know there are going to be some incredible partnerships made, but you can also get in on the partnerships. I've put together a guide, 30 ideas for simple partnerships to grow your business, and it's free. And I know a lot of you have used it already. Simply grab it through the link in the show notes and you can start building partnerships of your own. Let me know if you have any questions or if there's anything that I can do to help. And now back to our show.
Let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the things that you guys do at Argent to walk the talk? You know, I think like it's one thing, right, to you have a mission and obviously you are delivering that mission and you have this amazing product line. But what are some of the things that you do to actually deliver on that?
Yeah, I mean, the list is
long. I know there's a lot.
I'll speak to a couple of things. So our editorial arm is something that I'm really proud of. And I think that there's pressure on companies nowadays to come, like to start having everything solved. And I see a lot of companies make the mistake of doing too much too soon. And I think having an editorial arm is a good example of that. We did not have an editorial arm for 3 years. We were in business for 3 years before we really invested there. But I always knew that I wanted to build that because there's so much content that we want to make available to our community. But we had to really like nail the product, nail the brand, and understand our customer better in order to add that value, I think. And so in 2019, we started casting real women into what is now known as our Work Friends franchise. So we shoot and photograph and video and feature real women every season. So every 6 months, we cast six women from a variety of backgrounds in an effort to celebrate their careers. Cause oftentimes like we're putting our heads down and we're going through so much shit, and even the most seemingly glamorous roles have really not been celebrated in a, you know, they should be celebrated until the end of time. And all of us should be singing their praises, because to be successful and as a woman is an accomplishment in and of itself, because there's so many obstacles that we have to overcome. So we really want to celebrate these women. We want to connect them. And then we also want to tell their stories and inspire the next generation, which I didn't grow up understanding all of the career paths that were available to me. And so our goal in doing that is to offer representation and show women that they can do whatever they want and show them, you know, what they could be, really think anything under the sun. And this is, you know, what career looks like for all of these women. So that's our Work Friends series. I mean, there's so many other examples, but we've started bringing those women together just at the end of last year. We had our first Work Friends dinner, which was 50 women, all walks of life connecting. And there's so much collaboration that's resulted from that, and just so much, like so many relationships. It's incredible. It's working. The other thing that we rolled out recently, probably about 6 months to a year ago, is a franchise called Peer Recognition. And so this is an opportunity, and I would encourage your listeners to think about this, but to nominate someone, either a friend or a colleague, that just deserves recognition. And we select a woman a month to highlight, and we fly her to New York, we shoot her, we photograph her, and we gift her a suit or a piece from the collection. But I think just for us, it's about continuing to just platform, you know, these incredible women across all backgrounds. Yeah.
So I started with the mission because I think that it's so important for our listeners to know and to understand that you're not just a clothing company. And that's why I started with what you guys are all about versus starting with how you started the clothing line, because that is really what differentiates you. And, you know, you go on your site and you can see it and you can hear it in your voice and your stories. And since we got on this call, that is clearly something that's very important to you. So I want you to know that was very intentional that I wanted to talk about that first. Now, I do want to talk about the clothes, obviously. You are venture-backed. Have you been venture-backed from the beginning?
No.
I know you have a finance background.
Yeah. So we started through angel investment. We've never done a friends and family round. I have always been really intentional with fundraising and bringing on strategic capital. So individuals that have the capacity to invest, these are the people that I approached and that funded our first round. But also add value beyond a check. And that has really been the consistent thread for me in fundraising. So we raised a note, we then raised a bridge, and then we raised a seed, which was venture-led. It was led by Founders Fund. We've just completed our Series A, and that's family office-led. So I would say that we've moved away from venture a little bit to focus on family office, but we do still have participation from our venture partners. We just have the right mix of investors, I would say. They're all incredibly supportive, a great fit for us, values aligned, and all want to see us succeed because they're bought in on mission. And I'm pretty hardcore about that. I've walked away, even in moments of desperation, from checks from people that don't feel right.
Which is very admirable. And I agree with that sentiment wholeheartedly. And I think that when you do make those decisions, they come back around tenfold. Would you agree?
Agree completely. It always works out the way it's supposed to.
Right. I couldn't agree with you more. So when you started the clothing and you started putting the clothing out there, I mean, you were brand new. Obviously this wasn't your background. How did you find customers? How did you get the word out? What did that look like? How did you start to build this community?
I actually think all of my learnings exist. I mean, I still am learning every single day, but a lot of my key learnings exist in those first 3 to 5 years. So the first 6 months, which I touched on earlier, I was really focused on mentally mapping out a business plan. I never like put pen to paper. My background's in business, but still I read through a business plan template and just sort of mentally worked through what the priorities are. It was obvious to me that a differentiator for Argent would be in really tapping the expertise of a creative person who has a career in design and a lifelong career in design. A lot of people have gone after the white space that exists in workwear, but haven't really been that innovative and have tried to design the product themselves. If I designed product, I would not be here and nobody would be wearing the clothing is how I feel. I just think that, you know, there are these incredible creatives and designers. And so I always knew that having creative representation in the company was critically important. So that was the first role that I hired for, was a creative director, designer, all the things. Fundraising was obviously a priority because within the first 6 months, I landed on a financial model, which really is your business plan. If we're talking about business plans, like everything is going to be in your financial model. And I used that and I put together a pitch deck and went out to angel investors and spent a little bit over a year to raise a little less than $1.5 million, which is too long and a reflection of how broken fundraising is for female founders. Kind of spent the money as we went. We were raising off of a note. It's a debt instrument. You get the check, you can spend the money. And we launched in April of 2016 at a women's conference. We basically did a pop-up activation, and it was still to this day one of my favorite days in business because it was product market fit. We sold so much product And the reactions were everything, physical responses, and women put on the clothing, and just, it was so exciting. And we also put a website up on Shopify and put way too much emphasis on our friends who were absolutely going to show up to buy that never did, and way too little emphasis on marketing and how important marketing is. So right out the gates after day one, it's just like crickets, and you're learning, oh, okay, now we got to shift gears and really think about customer acquisition and how to make people aware of us.
Wait, I love that story because I hope that it puts a bug in people's ear to think about those other activations to get your product out there versus, you know, going direct to consumer or to retail. Like when you find a product market fit the way you did, I just had someone on here who has a low sugar cookie, and they basically took their cookie to the Diabetic Association conference. That's how they launched, and they got on shelf at Walmart before they even had a product because of that. That is product market fit. What you just described is product market fit. And oftentimes that can be the make or break for your business. And I think people don't always realize that or even think about it.
It was 100%. And I think that the first few years of business are figuring that out. And if you have an opportunity to accelerate that experiment, you know, like that's exactly what this was. This is a women's conference with 6,000 women, roughly all our target demographic. We ended up doing 30,000 in sales day one of business. Like that's bananas for a brand new company. Like, and to do that kind of volume with like four people at this pop-up booth at a conference, you've got to get fit right. You have to get the style right, the quality right. Like there's so many aspects that you have to consider, the story, whatever it is. And so I think even in hindsight, I probably would have done more with that data from a fundraising perspective had I known how to take
that. But the other thing too is obviously because you were in the right place at the right time with the product was right. And people loved the product. So where did you go from there?
So then we did events like that. I mean, we did a lot of in-person activations, and I was pretty intentional about like making 100 people fall in love with our company versus like, let's go out to the millions, because we needed to learn and we needed time to learn. And I think this category generally is challenging because it takes about 7 years, I think, to get to a point where your product and your brand and your photography and your retail presence and your team and the timing all come together simultaneously. And they shouldn't come together right out of the gates. You need to understand what you're building, what your customer wants. You need to form and norm and storm and whatever with your team. Like there's just so many aspects and it really takes time. And so,
Well, I was going to say, thank you for saying that, because I do think that, you know, so many people expect this instantaneous success. I think a lot of people don't see or understand the blood, sweat, and tears that go on behind a brand or product when you see someone online. Obviously, that's like a whole other conversation. But, you know, I appreciate you saying that because it does take time. And what seems like, you know, an overnight success never is. That doesn't really exist. And you're right, it takes time for things to gel. So where are you guys today?
It's funny because right now, so many people are like, you're everywhere. We've been called an overnight success essentially. And LinkedIn just reminded me that I've been doing this for 9 years. So I think that we are exactly where we want to be. And it's incredibly exciting and it's very glamorous from the outside looking in, but entrepreneurship, as anyone who has started a company knows, is not glamorous. I mean, I have touched every aspect of the business. I have driven U-Hauls, I've cleaned toilets, to give the cliche example. And it's still like, I still have moments that are like physically intense, et cetera. We're scaling now. I mean, COVID was hard for us.
I'm sure.
It was a really exciting opportunity for us to look inward and think about mission. And we ended up launching and running a viral campaign in 2020 that gave us a lot of like energy and momentum. and fulfillment and excitement. And then 2021, we were really strategizing post-COVID and how do we come out of this? Because my thesis was that there would be delayed consumerism. We would all be going back into the office and we'd all be generally unhappy with our options and in a competitive landscape that's completely wiped out, and that all of those things turned out to be true. So we are scaling, and I've never been busier in my life. And this is a different kind of busy than the COVID days. And it's really exciting. And it's a different kind of challenge than I've ever experienced. We're just trying to keep up and to grow at a healthy pace.
Hi, guys. It's Lindsay Pinchuk, host of Dear Founder. As entrepreneurs, you wear so many hats, don't you? Sometimes it's hard to know how and when and who to hire for help. But I want to say finding Hivecast to produce my podcast has been a godsend. They've been producing Dear Founder since season one, and honestly, I'm not sure what I'd do without them. Each week, I give them everything that they need to create the episodes that you hear. And not only do they produce and put out the episode, but they create all the awesome marketing materials that you see to promote it. They save me so much time, and honestly, their rates don't break the bank. What I love about them is that they make podcasting accessible to any small business owner who wants to create a podcast. I know that many of you have reached out to them already, but I just want to say, if you're thinking about a podcast of your own, reach out to the Hivecast team. I promise they will make it seamless from the start. You can find them through the link in the show notes. And now back to the episode.
I would love for you to paint us a picture as to how much you have grown and how much you've grown since you started.
It's not linear at all. So, very obvious in 2016 when we launched, this was an underserved market. 2017, one of our earliest, most vocal supporters was Secretary Hillary Clinton, and a lot of celebrities. And we were growing at a healthy clip. I don't even remember, but it was probably like 2 to 3x growth year over year, which is really like pretty fast in this industry. It's about the healthiest growth you can do. 2020, it was just booming as the economy and most industries were. So the first few months of 2020, we were doing incredibly well. And then mid-March, everything just crumbled. So we went to $0 days pretty much overnight. And supermajority of the campaign that I mentioned, we pretty much made our year in one day that year because our campaign went viral. And so in October, we sold out of every hot pink suit that we had. And it was really exciting, but from a financial perspective, it really allowed us to survive. And in 2021, we saw a bit of a return. We probably saw about 2x growth from 2020. 22, we saw about 3x growth. 23, 3x growth. 24, we're looking at 3 to 4x, which is just amazing. Bonkers.
Part of what I just want to say in response to this to everyone who just listened to Sally is, know your numbers, because Sally just rattled off her numbers without rattling off her numbers. And I just, that is something that I know I tell founders all the time. I'm sure you do too, but know your numbers and know and understand your growth. And Sally just did that without even looking at anything. And I'm sharing that for those of you who are listening, not watching. So I just, that was an aside. You mentioned the celebrity piece of this. How did you tap into that? Was that something that happened very naturally, or was that something that was a sought out initiative?
It's funny when you start something, you're selling a vision and you need people to say yes to that vision in order for it to become a reality. And so from day one, what I have wanted to do is bring together women across all backgrounds, age groups, and industries that would not connect otherwise. And in order for that to be successful, I needed everyone to say yes. Investors, team members, customers, celebrities, influencers, everyone. And I think in order to do that, like, you have to deliver value to them. And so I think we're solving a very real need for our customer base. Like, Hillary Clinton's actually a really good example. She's been on the record as complaining about the fact that there is no function in women's clothing. She has multiple phones that she's trying to carry. She does not feel thought of. She does not feel her best in like what she's been wearing. And come, you know, enter Argent, and she had a physical reaction to what we're offering, and our customer does. And I think on top of that, so the pieces on their own, and I am the most biased person, but I don't design them, so I feel like I can say this. I feel at my best when I'm in Argent, and all of our customers do as well. You get complimented. It's just different. The fit, the quality, the whatever it does to you, it's just this combination of factors. And on top of that, the biggest thing that I think is working is values alignment. So we're very, very unapologetic about our support of women. And we will show up for women every single day of the week. And we see ourselves as a service business for the women that we're dressing. And so I think because of that, like, it's just all come together, and we are attracting these really incredible women, but we're all sharing like a lot of the same pain points, no matter if it's a celebrity or a politician or, you know, an associate.
Well, so you said something in the beginning that I think is really important to point out, because you just exemplified that and really tied this so nicely into a bow, just so you know. You said you have to have conviction in what you're building, and you clearly do. And that has shown for the last 29 minutes and 14 seconds that we've been on this interview. And I think that what you're building is amazing and needed, and you believed in it so much that even during the time of COVID, when no one was even getting dressed, this still was a success. You were still able to put something together to make it work and to come out the other side. So I just want to say, before I ask my last question, bravo to you, because it's really amazing what you've done, and kudos to you.
Thank you.
And you should be really proud of yourself.
I'm grateful. And it's funny, because I think founders do this, but I'm always like focused on what's next. But there's so much to unpack from the COVID day. So even just listening to that, I'm like, oh, this makes me emotional. So thank you.
No, thank you. There was probably so many days that you were ready to throw in the towel. You are a company that is for working women who go into an office or who have to be presentable, not just from the waist up. And so, you know, I think it's important to point that out, because you really weathered the storm and you weathered it beautifully.
I think I get asked this a lot, but I do have the coolest job in the world. I also have such a hard job, but we are front row seat to incredible, remarkable women. And every single day we're reminded of like why that's important to them. I get pictures every day. We get posts. We just get so much like feedback. And there are so many days where I've wanted to throw in the towel. And every founder has those days, or we have hard days where it's like everything just seems to be like going against us. And on those days, I just opt out and like go watch Netflix, you know? So it's just a really weird journey. But for me, whenever I'm feeling that way, I just touch down into our community. I'll even go to the store and just sell, because to be customer facing and reminded of like how incredible and remarkable women are and like what we're providing to them is all I need. Like, it's such a great kick in the pants. So that's sort of my advice, is like, one, it's fine to just tap out and take however much time you need. And two, always plug back into your end customer as, you know, as a way to like refuel.
You see me smiling when you're saying that. And I just shared with you before we hit record that I had a event this morning with 70 female founders and small business owners. And that's why I am smiling, because there is nothing greater than being in a room with, you know, a lot of those women are my clients too. They're like in my group mentorship, and just being with the end user and hearing their reaction to what's going on in the room. And it, you know, I walked in today after a real long week, and it was a really great reminder of why I do what I do every day. So thank you for saying that. And on that note, I want to wrap up with the same question I ask everyone at the end. And that is, what are three actionable tips that you would tell a female founder who's just getting started?
One is awareness. And so do research as much as possible on both the industry that you're contemplating starting a company in, but I think moreover, it's important to look at the stats around female founders and the bias that exists and to sort of do your homework. I think generally speaking, awareness is really critical and being armed with information. There is so much gender inequity and the only way that you can navigate it is if you see it coming from pretty far out. So I think just like talk to founders, talk to VCs, do a little bit of homework until you totally go all in. Another, if we're going like what I did, which was corporate straight into like starting a company and it's a clean break and you're going all in at once, set up some sort of structure. So for me, I set up monthly meetings with mentors that had capacity to write checks. And I had a regular meeting cadence with them. And I would set goals with them that sort of were a forcing function for me to really deliver every time that I met with them. And eventually those turned into our first angel investors. And so there was a lot of goodness to come from that. I probably had 4 people that I approached and took 30 minutes with every month. And then the third is, and it's so basic, but same thing, it's what I did, read a business plan template. And I don't think writing a business plan is worth anyone's time personally, but look over it and make sure that you're thinking about all aspects of the company that you're seeking to start. And it's also a great way to uncover any blind spots that you might have or any potential pitfalls, you know, that might exist within the idea. So those are my 3.
Sally Christensen, founder and CEO of Argent, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your knowledge and your incredible story with us. I'm so excited to continue to watch you flourish.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
I hope that you enjoyed listening to Sally's story today as much as I loved talking to her about it. In case you're new around here, we close out every episode of Dear Founder with our number one takeaway from our conversation. My takeaway from Sally today is to think of the out-of-market ways that you can launch your business. Where's your community? What are the obvious ways that you can reach them that you may not be thinking of? You heard Sally talk about launching Argent with a pop-up at a women's conference, a natural fit, but definitely out of the box. They did $30,000 in sales in 1 day. Why did this work? Well, she had the right product for the right people at the right moment, and the community at this event went crazy for it. Being present at the right moment can catapult your business in ways that you may never, ever expect. So think about those out-of-box ways that you can get things started or keep things going. Thank you so much, Sally, for being here today, and thank you to everyone for listening. We've been getting so much love for season 3, and you have all been so gracious with your time, leaving us some incredible, amazing reviews. Neenbean8686 recently shared, "What a great podcast that is all about women entrepreneurship. So motivating and great tips from the best of the best." Thank you so much for this glowing review. It means so much to me when you guys stop by and take the time to let us know what you think of Dear Founder. If you liked today's conversation, I would love it if you left a 5-star rating and a review so that others can find this conversation. All you have to do is go to ratethispodcast.com/Dear Founder or click the link in the show notes to leave a review wherever it is that you podcast. And if you know someone who we should meet, send them our Meet a Founder link in our show notes. We'll introduce them to our community on our social media and our website later this year. But for now, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting this community. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Tuesday.